Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes out of Esther, 4th chapter, 14th verse. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We at First Church believe that the Bible is God's Word. That may be somewhat unique. It's also God's truth. It's living. It's active. It's the only infallible way of faith and practice. Uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says. And we need to live it. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, open your word to us. Teach us your truth. And Lord, constrain us to stay in that truth. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful gift. May your Holy Spirit move us, transform us a little bit more into the image in which we were created, into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me give you a bit of background. Shortly after the resurrection, Jesus gave his disciples some curious instructions. You've heard them. He told them to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's Mark's version. You think about that a minute. Jesus said this to 11 guys who up to that point hadn't demonstrated in any measurable way, any capacity for conquering the world. In fact, when they realized earlier that Jesus was facing death, all of his disciples but one bailed. One committed suicide. One denied ever having known Jesus. The rest of them just ran for the hills. They ran for their lives. Except John, who stayed around till the end. Now here's Jesus talking to this band of underachievers. Here's Jesus talking to these disciples, as they were called. And he's telling them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew's version emphasizes Jesus telling them also to make disciples of all nations. How was that supposed to happen? Think about it. How can 11 mostly uneducated and presumably broke men overcome the distance barriers, the financial barriers, the language barriers, the cultural barriers, and go into all the world? Sounds like Jesus was sending them out on a mission impossible, doesn't it? How could this group honestly be expected to go into the world? Now ask yourself, how could we honestly be expected to go into even all of Roanoke? How can we be expected in our little environment here to even do a piece of what Jesus was calling us to do? When you look at those first disciples that Jesus had, there are some things that happened that turned the tide, you might want to say. And one was the resurrection. When someone you know comes back to life after they've died, that's a big deal. You know, I think we would remember that. And I think it would have an impression on us. We would sort of believe that person had something going for them, you know. They know something I don't know. Or they have some power that I don't have. It's easy to believe that once Jesus came back from the dead, that he was who he claimed to be. And that he could do anything he wanted to do. You would tend to believe that. When someone you know dies and rises again, it's pretty easy to have courage. It's pretty easy to have a little more boldness to do what they're asking you to do. And the resurrection gave these disciples of Jesus a boldness that they lacked before. Another tide turner for these disciples was the power of the Holy Spirit. The last thing Jesus said to his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It's an important distinction to make. A Christian life is not merely following the tenets of a creed. It isn't just saying we believe God, and we believe God is in heaven, and we believe in Jesus, His Son, and we're supposed to be good. Much more than that. The Christian life is a relationship with this God. It's a relationship that's given to us through His Son, Jesus. It's a relationship in which the Holy Spirit comes alive in us and dwells in us and gives us the power to live the life that God calls us to live. And you don't live in your own power. You live by the power of the Holy Spirit. One more thing that made a difference in that strange group that Jesus first called into His service. And that's what I like to call God's strategic timing. I talked a couple of weeks ago about Pentecost. We celebrated it. Thousands of Jews gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate feast days. And by day's end, 3,000 people became followers of Christ. Just a few days later, 3,000 people would return to their homes in various nations around the known world. And they would take their newfound faith in Jesus with them. Do you ever think about that? This caused the message of the gospel to go viral, in our words. Suddenly, Jesus' command to go into all the world wasn't such a mission impossible after all, was it? In those days and weeks that followed Pentecost, the Jesus movement just exploded. There was all kinds of people coming to know Him and believe in Him as Lord and Savior. There were conversions, there were miracles, there were people sharing their possessions. We read about that in Acts 2. The Bible says that the Lord added to their number daily. So not just that first 3,000, there were thousands and thousands who started to come to faith. And then the trouble began. You know, Satan doesn't bother us when we're just sitting in the pew. Satan's going to bother us when we get out and start doing what God called us to do and start taking His word, His message, His life into the world, to our next door neighbor, to our workplace, to our school. Peter and John were brought before the religious leaders, the powers that be. They were told to stop preaching. Stop this preaching in the name of Jesus. They responded by saying, in effect, that's not going to happen. We won't stop talking about Jesus because we can't stop talking about Jesus. Well, this eventually led to the high priest going after the apostles, having them arrested, having them put in jail. The Bible then says a messenger of the Lord came, an angel, came along and released these apostles. Next day, they were back in the temple court, preaching once again, teaching that crowd about Jesus. So once again, those powers that be rounded up the apostles and prepared for a confrontation. And this is where our text this morning begins. Verse 27 of Acts 5. And when they had brought them, Peter and John, they set them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in His name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus," there's that resurrection, "whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him at His right hand as leader," prince in some versions, "and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." These few verses give us a lot of insight into how those earlier Christians thought. I think of it's how God would have you and me think. It's how God would have us as a church think and act. What kind of a church makes a difference in their world? What kind of a church makes a difference in their community? What kind of a person can make a difference in those, that little world that is yours, that little set of acquaintances that you know, that you can have influence over? Among your friends, among your neighbors, even among people you don't really know. This text, this little story, tells us that there are things we can do. as a church, as individuals, in order to be difference makers in our world, to be the difference makers that God has called us to be. And the first thing that jumps off the page is that we need to talk about Jesus more than anything else. To talk about Jesus more than anything else. The members of the Sanhedrin said to the apostles, "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching about him." Maybe a little hyperbole, but that would be a great thing to be said, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you love for somebody to say that about you? That you filled the whole town with your talking about Jesus? The message of the early church was about Jesus more than anything else. Their message was Jesus is the answer. You know, we've talked about Jesus is the way. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. They didn't talk about politics. They didn't talk about social issues. They didn't talk about cultural wars or how we should vote or where we should shop or which company you should boycott. No, they talked about Jesus and only Jesus. You know, Bible teacher Steve Brown, you may have heard of him. He's a great guy. Once said that when the modern day church had a choice between political power and spiritual power, it chose political power. And he said it always gets us in trouble. The objective of the church is not to be a political force. Neither is it our purpose to get people in the right office. It's our purpose to preach salvation through Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Encouraging people to receive Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior, and teaching them how to follow Him. Is that what we share with our world today? Is that what is most urgent on our heart? When we watch the evening news or we read articles about what's going on in our world. You know, we sometimes preach as if we just want folks to accept family values. Good family values. You got good family values, you're okay. Some churches preach as if the goal is to get people to join a certain political party or to have a certain specific agenda. And you know what? Those are all good things. Family values are good things. You know, having the right political notions are good things. I mean, Lord knows there's plenty of stuff that needs to change in this world. But our message as Christians goes far beyond that. Our message, more than anything else, is about Jesus and His power to save. And in the final analysis, that will be the only power that will make any difference in the world you and I live in. Some of us may have seen at least part of the Bible miniseries that was shown a few years ago and then made into a movie. It was on the History Channel when it was free to watch. The series covered Genesis to Revelation. It was all about Scripture, all told a bunch of stories in Scripture. And there's an interesting story behind it. It was developed by a married couple, Mark Burnett and Roma Downey. And Mark was a producer of The Survivor. You heard of that TV show, The Apprentice. And he currently is chairman of MGM Worldwide Television Group. Roma had been in a number of TV shows. Most notably, she was the angel in Touched by an Angel. They both are very devout Christians. And when they first developed this idea of putting the Bible in film and showing it, they shopped it around. They were very experienced in the Hollywood scene, the movie-making scene, and so they knew all the movers and shakers, and they shopped it around to find a studio and production companies and all that. The response they got was, "You might have something here. Is there any way you could tell the story of the Bible without mentioning Jesus?" Can you imagine that? If you'll think just a little bit about what you see on that little tube, even what you see in most movies, they never mention the name Jesus. They may talk about God. They may talk about God. They never mention the name Jesus. Why is that? Why is that? Let's not point the finger at Hollywood too much. I've sat through entire worship services, and maybe you too, where Jesus' name was hardly mentioned. I don't want us to make a mistake here. When people come to worship, and when people come and they worship here, when people want to meet you and they want to meet me, I want them to know where we are with Jesus. I want them to know we're about Jesus. I want them to hear His name in the music. I want them to hear it in our prayers, in the preaching, in our conversations that follow and precede. Through Jesus, we have forgiveness. Through Jesus, we have peace. Through Jesus, we have purpose. And there's no other way that we have any of that. His teachings are the greatest lessons ever heard. His life is the greatest story ever told. How can we not talk about Jesus? If you and I want to make a difference in the world we live in, if we want to make a difference as a church, in this community, in our families, then we need to make sure that we talk about Jesus more than anything else. When the conversation turns to what's on the tube or what's on the internet, turn it back around to Jesus. Secondly, in order to make a difference in the world you and I live in, we need to honor God more than everyone else. The Sanhedrin said to the apostles, "We strictly charged you not to teach in His name." But Peter in verse 29 said, and the other apostles, "We must obey God rather than men." Would that more people would take that stand today. We're more hung up on our job. We're more hung up on having other people think kindly of us, or not making a scene, or all those any other reasons you can come up with, and you know them, you've made them probably. I know I have. In our country, it's pretty rare when it comes to law that you would have to choose between obeying God and obeying men, although that's changing. Prior to the pandemic, I would have said it never happened. It would never be a problem in this country. Oh, but now, we know better, don't we? So many churches were forced to close because of government dictates. So much divisive material was promoted, even required by law and in schools and everywhere else. We were told fairy tale after fairy tale after fairy tale, which have now mostly all been debunked 4 years later. Think about the culture we're now in. The pressures of to bow the knee to all sorts of cultural wishes and whims and dictates, where we do sometimes have to choose between obeying God and obeying our boss, or obeying God and fitting in with a certain group of people, or obeying God and being able to join certain organizations or companies. You know, sometimes social pressure is so great that it's hard to refuse to go along with questionable practices in the workplace, or political and social pressures that pull us away from God's path. We need to honor God. We need to honor God above everyone and everything else. When the crowd wants us to go along, everyone is doing it, of course. Drinking, drugs, sex, you name it. Ask the question, does my going along, does my doing this honor my God? Trust me, people will notice. The world will make a spectacle out of you. It'll help them to notice. That's how you change the world, though. When you put on an attitude that lets everyone know, gently, respectfully, that you will honor God above everything else. There's a third thing I want to share with you. We need to love people more than anything else. When Peter talked to the Sanhedrin, he emphasized that Jesus came offering forgiveness, hope, a new life. In verse 31, God exalted him at his right hand as leader, as Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The driving motivation for Peter and John and the apostles was to see people saved, to see people come to the point where they could enter into the kingdom of God. They could have eternal life. To see people come to Jesus. That was it. That was it. That's what they wanted. And when they encountered the risen Christ, they realized this is real. This is a real thing. Peter and John and those apostles, he's real. That message that he told us, it's real. His teaching, his promises, his way of life. There was a conviction behind them that was unstoppable. Like when he said that he was alive even in the days before Abraham. Now that we can find truth there. We can believe that. Or when he claimed to be equal to God. Or when he said that he was the only way. His resurrection proved it all. Every bit of it. This thing's real. The truth is real. And we must share it. Everyone needs to hear. They need to know. They need to the chance to experience Jesus for themselves. And so these early disciples, they sacrificed everything, most all of them their lives, to show God's love to others. Church demonstrates God's love by what it does. How are we showing our community God's love? What are we doing to serve others? What are we doing to bless others, to minister to others in the name of Jesus, with the word of Jesus? Are we offering the saving grace of Christ in everything that we do? If you want to make a difference in this world, if you want to be part of a church that makes a difference, then you and I, we must love people in Jesus more than anything else. The early church, they made their difference because their message centered around Jesus. They made their difference because they talked about Him more than anything else. Let's be a church and a people who talk about Jesus more than anything else. The early church made a difference because they were willing to take a stand. They were willing to step out from the crowd. They were willing to be even ostracized. They were willing to suffer in order to do what was right. They honored God above everyone and everything else. Let's be a church made up of people who are determined to do what's right, no matter the cost. The early church made a difference because they cared, they loved, and people knew it. They wanted people to be saved. They wanted people to have eternal life. They wanted them to have what maybe they'd never even dreamed of having, never even thought of. Sure, they wanted them fed. Sure, they wanted them taken care of. But they wanted them to have Jesus more than anything. They wanted people to know the real Jesus. They loved people more than anything else. Let's be a church that cares for people, that loves people in the spirit of Jesus. You and I, we've been called like those first disciples to a mission impossible. Indeed. But we have the Holy Spirit's power within us. We have the command of Jesus behind us. So let's together resolve to change our world in the only way we can really change it. Let's make a difference for the glory of God. Let's pray together.